Well, good morning, citizen lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It was dark this morning. There's a hint of rain, a little dampness on the road, but otherwise the light is emerging and it looks like it's going to be an okay day.
It is, and it was dark enough to keep me home and calling in today, Mike, so
okay.
I'll put a disclaimer out there to all the listeners. There may be a dog bark or two, but that's not a bad thing.
No, not a bad thing at all. Well, this has been an interesting week. I was happy that you to share observation of the Palmer City Council meeting on Tuesday. Where shall we begin as we wander through the variety of events of the week?
Well, let's start with that one because that's the one that you and I both attended.
Yes.
Which was a lot there to talk about. There also, at the same time going on, was a joint school board meeting, meaning that it was a joint meeting between the borough assembly and the school board. And I got some reports from that, so we can talk a little. I've not heard that recording, which I'm actually quite curious to hear now that I've heard some reports. But we can talk a little bit about that, maybe a little more about that next week. But the city council did meet in their chambers. Everybody was there except for member Steve Carrington, who apparently was ill. So they excused his absence right away.
Right.
And they didn't really have any special things. They went right into their agenda. They introduced something they'll take up next time, and I haven't read through it, Mike, but it has to do with amending business licenses. So they introduced it and didn't really have any comment on it. So I don't know really what's going on with that, but through it, maybe we'll have a report on that later.
Right.
So they had another resolution, so not much there, approved their meeting, that sort of thing. The manager had a pretty long report. He had a long list of projects that he gave out, updating what's going on with the wastewater treatment plant that they hope to have it up by next summer. There was some talk about the runway at the airport that's getting repaired and resurfacing and a safety zone out there. There was talk of some replacement on the library boiler, so it should be warmer for everybody to go to the library these days. He also gave a report on what Wasilla had done with plastic bags, which you and I have talked a lot about, Mike.
Right.
But they didn't take any action, didn't really talk about it. He reported to them that it looks like the city of Wasilla is leaning towards banning those bags. They haven't taken the action, but they're certainly now talking about it in the open.
And my understanding is the direction has come from the Wasilla Council
right.
to the mayor to
prepare
come
something.
Back with a banning proposition. Right.
Yeah. And he also indicated that, again, the Barrett Borough is not taking up the issue until December 5th, and that they are sort of tied their hands as far as they can't really do a ban, but they can do a tax. So that's still on the table on that. He talked about the state fair. They thought that probably attendance actually was going to be close to last year. There was sort of a surge at the end that got off to kind of a slow start because of the weather, but finished really strong, but they won't really have those numbers until October. But he's hoping that the sales tax coming from that does a lot to support the city of Palmer will come back about what it was last year, and if not, they'll have to make some budget adjustments. So he spoke about that. The Saroma students from our sister city are in town, and he spoke how great it is to have them and some events that are happening with that. The only question really he had, a little bit about the airport, but there was some talk about what was happening to the water tower that's being painted on Trunk Road that I guess they hope to have this year, but turns out it's taken more paint than they thought. So they're still working on that. So other than that, I think that was sort of his report, unless you remember
The only thing that I would say is that he gave a very comprehensive report, and maybe leaping ahead a little bit, but there was a person to be heard who spoke to the issue of strange aromas.
Odors,
yes, coming from the present plant that's out there, and a concern that a resident nearby had, and the mayor directed her to contact and speak with both the manager and the public works director. I noted that as the meeting progressed, there was a little break in there. She was with them, so apparently they will review what it is that is both not only an aroma, but also a strange sound that was coming from the present system.
Well, I was talking to somebody about that, a longtime Pomerite, about that, and they indicated that really it's always had a little bit of a smell. You move out by a lagoon, you're going to have that. But I'm hoping that all these upgrades that they're doing right now maybe will address both of those issues. Yeah, they were right on talking to her, so good on them. And it was respectful conversation, so that's always welcomed. The clerk had a report, actually a fairly long report, because it had to do with moving on to an electronic, well, I guess that was later in her report. For early report, she talked a lot about another thing they were going to be looking at, and that was attendance at AML. She talked about the upcoming election. I was really glad to see this. I actually had some conversation with her that I was getting some questions as to the election. And because there's really nothing on the ballot borough-wide for the Palmer area and some other areas, people were asking me, where do I vote? Can I vote early? Do I go to the city of Palmer since there's nothing to vote on with the borough? And she has put a very clear statement on the very front page of the Palmer website talking about that. And it's basically business as usual. The borough will take your early voting come Monday. They can start voting, and there are four people up for two council seats. That's the only thing on the ballot, but you can go to the borough and vote then if you need to vote early, which is always a good idea because, as we all know, life is uncertain. Once that first Tuesday in October comes along, you'll just go to your normal precinct to vote, and there'll just be the Palmer ballots there.
Right, right.
But if you need further, explanation, I encourage people to go to the City of Palmer website, and right there on the front page, she's made it very clear about how voting will commence.
Now, were you blue carded?
I was not blue carded.
Because I'm looking at a blue card here.
Well, I haven't got my mail lately, so maybe just telling you where to.
Yeah.
No,
it's a little blue card, and just for those listeners who live within the city, it basically says important notice to voters, and then it says you are a registered voter in a precinct that will not, bold and underlined, be open on election day, nor have a borough ballot to vote on the October 3rd, 2017 regular borough election. Why, you ask? It continues. There are no area-wide questions on the ballot this year. There are no assembly or school board seats up for election in your district. So, kind of an interesting card, which for someone who is unfamiliar with everything we've been talking about, I'm saying, okay, I'm a registered voter in a precinct that will not be open on election day. What does that mean? But fortunately, there's a phone number there, and you can contact the clerk.
Where do you normally vote in Palmer, Mike?
There's not too much normal about that. I usually, my location is over at the borough's main building. That's where I normally vote. Now, I'm going to say this. I have this blue card because it came to our business address here. And that is at 716 South Alaska Street. And I, however, vote. I personally have not received one of these at our home. So what I'm saying is that apparently, if you are in certain districts, you will receive a blue card. And there is a change there where some people who would normally vote in a location we'll have to go to another place. That's what I understand. But this came from the Matanuskas Assistant Borough Clerk's office.
Well, now I'm a little confused, Mike, because by the sounds of the card, and I haven't gotten one, and I don't live very far from you, Mike, so it'll be interesting to see if there's one in my mailbox. The sound of that, just reading it, sounds like you don't bother to vote. But indeed, if you live within the city of Palmer, you do have a reason to vote.
Right. And I believe that this warrants a further comment. So what we will do prior to October 3rd, we will have the borough clerk elucidate, explain tell us what does this mean? Because I'm reading it and saying some people may be confused when they receive this. But the bottom line, if you're living in the city of Palmer, you have an opportunity to vote, and you're in one of these precincts in the city, you will not be voting for borough-wide positions of any sort or propositions, but you will be able to vote, typically, as you have in the past, going to the same place you've been and vote, but you only get a ballot that'll say vote for two of the above.
Right. That's the way I understand it, and I think that's what you're going to find when you go to the webpage of the that we talked about that the clerk has. But that really is a little concerning that came out. So they did talk about that blue card, but I haven't received one. So good that we're going to clarify it.
Yeah, and do the Palmer clerk has this pretty well in hand. The website, as you point out, does as well. Okay, moving on. Mm-hmm.
Moving on. So the next thing on their agenda, there was a small mayor's report on some things that she had gone and upcoming events and that sort of thing. The attorney really didn't have any particular. Oh, he had a little bit of a report, some words to say about a piece of paper that the clerk had passed out that talked about the ability of legislators to block people from their social media.
Oh, I thought that was fascinating.
That was rather interesting, and the bottom line, he sort of clarified it was that there is a responsibility of the public when you're doing something on behalf of the city to leave it as part of the public record. But if someone's being abusive, or there are reasons that they aren't protected by the First Amendment, so be nice is the word of the day, and also that those things, if you are going to do social media, you have to deal with the comments that come from social media.
Right, and we're talking specifically to members of a body such as the Palmer City Council who have a social media account, and they're receiving feedback of one sort or another.
Right. So then they they took a public hearing. As you said, they heard from one homeowner that is concerned about what's going on with the wastewater treatment plant. I actually testified. I had my AERP hat on that night, Mike, and just gave them a new publication that's come out talking about 100 great ideas that have been done in small communities, and I dropped that off to them. And there was also a report from the school district, administrator from the school district who spoke a little bit about Reese Everett's, who talked a little bit about the tragedy in Dubuque of the fire last week that took the lives of five little girls, and how the community was responding to that and how the school district was responding to that. And then he talked a little bit about that the projection for all the Palmer schools, at least within our greater Palmer area, are all at attendance or higher. And actually, even though Butte is not in that portion of it, they're 15 students over, and Sutton is even over. So things are pretty robust in the Palmer area. Now, I haven't gotten an update since our last meeting from the school district overall, but it does sound like things are starting to get up there. They may only be about 100 under their projection, but of course we won't know that until October.
Right, and I did have a chance to interview the superintendent of schools yesterday, and she the number of things we talked about, but she confirmed that they're moving ahead. They've reduced the number below the projection that had originally been announced at the borough assembly meeting, and so they're getting closer, and there's some confidence that they'll be pretty much right on target.
Okay, great. Let's see, then they talked, they did get into this long, drawn-out talk, Mike, about, well, first two of them that were way too long, I thought. One was about appointing a council member to serve on the Municipal League Board of Directors.
Right.
That was kind of a long, drawn-out conversation having to do with, number one, them attending and the cost of attending. And and being on the board and what those costs are. And at the end of the day, they passed it, and they recommended that Richard Best be allowed to run for some office, any office, I guess.
Right.
They didn't qualify it to be part of that board. I think the Alaska, I sort of kudos to Councilwoman Combs, who talked a little bit about the Municipal League and that she thought it was really a worthwhile thing, as did Councilman Richard Best. They've been sort of someone, and I know the mayor as well, has been someone who's taken part in a lot of the Municipal League things. And it is their chance to get together with other communities and kind of their own little lobbying group to the state. So I'm glad to see them be part of that.
Right. I sort of detected a continuation of what has happened in the past, not an enthusiastic, a less than enthusiastic support for this by a council in general. My impression is that there...
You mean of Alaska Municipal League?
Yes. Of spending money and or, for that matter, attending.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever have heard Board Member Hansen talk about going. I know Board Member Carrington has gone.
Right.
And I don't know that Pete LaFrance has been part of it long enough to go. And it often happens during a time when he would probably be... He's one of the ones that has a full-time job. He's a teacher, so he may just not be able to attend. But I've never seen Mr. Hansen take part of it, that's for sure. Then they went on to talk about the really long thing, and that had to do with e-docs and the clerk wanting to execute an agreement to pull them out of the dark ages and start getting everything on micro... get them out in the cloud, all these old documents. We have a basement in the city building of old documents, and in view of what's happened in Houston, it's time to get those things scanned in and archived. And she's been going out and trying to... There's apparently only two vendors in the entire country that do this sort of things for clerks, which is just amazing to hear that. She had gotten bids from the two that were able to do it and had one, she thought, the cheaper one, difference between about under $7,000 or $40,000, that she thought would suffice. But that was just the beginning of all the questions that she got. That really went down the rabbit trail.
It's being somewhat familiar with this kind of both transition from analog to digital records, from things in the basement to something stored in copies, so that you not only have safety improved, but you also have access improved. And this was one of the things that was discussed. I agree with you. I think it felt as if the request was not ready for the prime time of making a decision and saying, go forth and do it. I think that it became obvious that there were so many questions, and many of which were not really fully answered, that the council eventually, after asking a lot of questions, that let's delay this. Here are some things we want to know about it before we move forward and make this happen. And as I was listening, I was not sure, as the various council members probed, that I could sit down and say, here's an accurate picture of what the costs will be, the initial costs, the training costs, the transition costs, the ongoing costs, et cetera, for the system. The extensions, when you find that what you have purchased is the base example of how this works, but you need other pieces. And having been involved with transitions of this in the past in other places, I can say that this is the kind of thing that we have to be very careful about, because there will be other costs that you find coming along that probably were unexpected. And I think the council was appropriate in being cautious about saying, okay, like this, absolutely helping us move, but let's get a better handle on this picture. And it became very fuzzy to me.
Well, I see it. I see it even a little deeper than that, Mike. The thing about having members of the public sit on these type of boards and commissions is they come with all kinds of different backgrounds. And in my view, a council or an assembly that doesn't use the talents that people have in their everyday jobs to do these type of tasks is really a shame for the taxpayers.
Right.
And for instance, we saw the ferry with the assembly languish forever and ever and try to get solved. And when Dan Mayfield was elected from the Big Lake area and put on there, he has 30 years in the insurance business. All of a sudden, the deal with the insurance company and all of it really went fast. They kind of put him in charge and said, we have an expert here. He can report back to the rest of the assembly and be kind of our own in-house expert. Well, sitting at the table of the city council is Pete LaFrance. He does IT for a living. He teaches it at the Mirror Lake Middle School. So why they didn't at the very beginning, because this is not the first time they've talked about it. This has come up before. They were having a public hearing on it, so they have talked about it, to give him that task to work with the clerk to ferret out some of these things from his viewpoint. It just stymies me. I don't understand why they aren't using those strengths that their members have. So they did ask a lot of questions, and some of them were good, and some of them should have probably been asked of the clerk before they sat down. But at the end of the day, I think there is sort of consensus. Didn't completely get that so much from Mr. Hansen that they need to do this. But I think the rest of the council sounded like, yes, we need to archive our records. We need to jump into the next century. But we need some questions answered about costs and savings, because once everything is caught up, and right now she's talking about moving forward with a system that will archive things as we go forward, and then they can go back as they go get that older stuff. The search capabilities and having all that there and not having somebody to the basement for hours to look for some vital document could save them tons and tons of money. So that's my thoughts on it. I think, sure, number one, you know, they should use the strength of the people they have at the table, and I hope that dawns on them.
Right. And in any case, we're in agreement. It was a lengthy conversation at some point, and it was good to get questions out. But it felt for a while that it was just perseverating, going on and on. And well, you could see that it was something that needed to be postponed.
Well, and the irony of it is that, you know, that was a $7,000 expenditure, but admittedly it would get to be more. But right after it, they had something on the agenda for $231,000 that they had two or three questions on.
Right.
You know, having this has been coming up more regularly on these expenditures. As you know, as money gets tighter in communities, people look at these things a lot closer, just as you would at your own kitchen table if your finances tightened up. And they're beginning to look around to see if they have the expert advice they need to guide them on these areas. We heard this at the assembly meeting about the design for the new firehouse last week, Mike, and that shouldn't we have, you know, do we have any experts on architecture to tell us if we're getting a good deal or not? So they are starting to look at their own internal capacities to making these judgment calls. And, you know, admittedly, all of these bodies have made some mistakes over the years in public projects.
Right.
So asking the questions and getting experts in when you need them, but utilizing the people you have and the talents that you have within your own body would serve them well, I think.
Okay, so we have a few minutes left here. What are we going to do to tie this up?
The Joint School Board meeting, it sounded like there was some talk about the sales tax, but not anything. I talked to at least a couple of people that said, I still don't know what the borough's real direction is on that, or the manager's real direction on it. If they actually are going to get a working group together, and how they're going to pick a working group to really talk about it. Is it going to be done before November? I think they asked originally that something be done in November, by November, to come back and talk to them about it. So there wasn't anything settled about that. There was a lot of talk in regards to the confusion, and I'm glad that the superintendent was in yesterday to talk to Mike about this, and hopefully people will listen. I'll try to listen in on that, about the testing and the results on testing and why they are what they are. There are still a lot of confusion, particularly with a couple of assembly members about how testing works and where the position, why it turned out the way it did, and the history behind testing.
Yeah, and I think the superintendent in yesterday's inside the school district did a wonderful job of discussing the test results and testing in general. That interview will be up on the website later this morning. I would direct you and anyone else interested to catch it. It's inside the school district and should be up before noon today.
Great. Great.
Okay.
Sounds good, Mike. Yeah, it occurred to me this week while we were in these meetings that I know you're about ready to do interviews with all the candidates for city council, which I think is great, and I'll look forward to listening to those. But maybe we should start calling in school board members not on election time and council members not during election time during the year this year, and just talking to them about different issues would make for some good interviews, I think.
Yeah, I like it.
And some good reflections after these meetings.
All right. Good. Good.
All right.
Good. All right. Thank you, citizen lobbyist.
All right.
We'll talk to you again next week.
Day.
Yep.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay.